Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought about this morning, and I thought maybe, you know, today's Breaking the Barrier service, so I should try to, you know, wear something where I can be like Steve Jobs, and now, you know, I'll have a. But then I realized I don't have a neck, so I can't really wear what he does. And also, if I did, I would probably feel locked in. But I decided, you know, today I'm going to try and lock myself out of the pulpit and try to become more free with you. Although this, in some ways, almost feels like I'm locking myself into another lock-in. But anyways, if you will join with me in prayer. God, you are here. As we sit in the pews, as we sit in this church, as we sit waiting to hear your word, we also realize that your word is all around us. So God, open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to take into heart the word of God. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was actually more than one of you who came up to me this morning and said, Moses, how are you doing? I said, fine. I said, Moses, you look a little tired this morning. And you were right, because I am very tired. It's probably not the thing you want to hear from your preacher. But I had the pleasure of being locked in at Islington United Church with the young youth of our church and the youth of Islington United Church, where we were locked in from Friday evening until Saturday afternoon. So you're locked in with 20 youth kids, having candy, having chocolate. So do you get any sleep? Not really, but that's okay. Because we decided to lock ourselves into this building. We're going to have fun. We had played the Amazing Race game, and there are 15 stations. And one of the best part, and I don't know if you've ever been to Islington United Church, their main sanctuary, I got the opportunity to hide 3 clues in that big sanctuary, and it almost took them an hour to find these clues. Kids were excited. They were very happy. I was very tired. I wonder how the disciples felt when they were locked in. I wonder whether they were excited like our youth were at Islington United Church. Or were they tired like me? Or were they in fear? My guess is they were probably locking themselves in fear. But fear of what? Were they really afraid of the Jews, as John writes so clearly? I mean, just the previous chapter, previous verses, we see two of Jesus' disciples run to the grave when they hear word that the grave, the tombstone has been moved and the grave is empty. They ran. I don't think they were afraid. But here, all of a sudden, when they hear from Mary that they have seen Jesus, they find themselves locking themselves into this little room. Why? What are they afraid of? Are they really afraid of the Jews? Are they afraid of the Romans? Maybe they are afraid of Jesus. Now, if I choose to place myself in the feet of Peter, I would be afraid of Jesus, wouldn't you? You just betrayed your teacher 3 times. Maybe if you were a disciple that isn't Peter, wouldn't you be afraid? You were off at a distance during the crucifixion. You were hiding. If I was one of the disciples, I would definitely be afraid of Jesus. What would I say if I met Jesus? If Jesus came and looked at me in the eyes, what would I say? I have to be honest and tell you that I would be afraid. I would find myself locked in to a small room in that cupboard in the basement, being afraid of seeing anyone or being afraid of seeing Jesus. And on this second Sunday of Easter, we often find ourselves locked in, or we lock ourselves in. As I was coming out the front door this morning of our student housing unit on Yonge and Bloor, I just stood there and looked at the door and tried to count how many locks there are in this front door of an apartment building where we have a security guard and we need fobs, and the security guard makes sure that we each put our fobs so the door will open. And we have three locks at our apartment. We have a lock that locks like this, and then we have the lock that on top locks like that, and then we have another bolted lock. And I'm sure it's the same way for a lot of you. Maybe you have multiple levels of lock in your apartment. I can tell you we have two locks in our offices. Maybe you have some more. There's two sets of locks in each of the door of this building. Why do we need these locks? Why do we? Is it because we love carrying around more keys so that we can open them? Is it because we have all the time so that we can open up three locks every time we come through the door? I think we have these locks quite simply because we're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid of something. We sometimes lock ourselves in and try to cover ourselves because we don't want to get caught. We lock ourselves in because we don't want to be in a situation where we're uncomfortable. I have been working here for 6 weeks now, and I have sensed that sometimes I choose to have my door open when I'm in the office, and sometimes I choose to have the door closed in the office. For example, during lunchtime, I choose to have my door closed because it would seem very awkward if I was eating and someone came, "Hey, Moses." I'm like, "Yes, how can I help you?" There are times I choose to close the door when I have a conversation with Gloria, because usually we'd be speaking in Korean, and for someone else to come in and hear Korean, it might seem a little awkward. Sometimes I choose to close the door because I'm on Facebook, and I don't want to get caught that I'm on Facebook at church. You see, there is a fear. Fear locks us in. The disciples locked themselves in. They're trapped behind this locked doors. We don't know how Jesus came in. The Bible doesn't really say. I wonder if Jesus, you know, used superpowers and broke the doors open, like broke the chains off, or you know, maybe if it was one of those locks, Jesus would have just magically used his hands and it would turn, turn, click, turn, 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 click, turn, 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 click. We don't know how. But Jesus comes in, and I can tell you, when Peter looks at Jesus, Peter is looking like this. He's afraid. And the first thing Jesus says to Peter is not, "Hey, Peter, remember?" He doesn't tell Peter, "Hey, I heard the rooster crow." The first thing Jesus says is peace. Shalom. That says, your sins are forgiven. We've sang about amazing grace. The choir have sang about amazing grace. When there's a deep fear inside of us, there are times when we can't say much. I can be the first one to say, when Gloria comes in and looks at me, I'm afraid. Because Gloria will say something. But what if Gloria comes in and looks at me and smiles and says, "Moses, you're forgiven." Yes. I don't know what, but I'm forgiven. Shalom. Not why did you do this, or not why didn't you do this, or not why after 3 years, how could you, not what were you thinking, but to say you're forgiven. To say, peace be with you. To say, you're forgiven. Now go out and forgive others. I wonder if the fear the disciples had was a fear of being forgiven. Will we be forgiven? Will I be forgiven? But Jesus stands and says, you are forgiven. Go out and forgive others. Jesus is allowing the disciples to break free from what the fear that was holding them inside, of locking themselves inside. Jesus is giving the disciples, empowering the disciples to go out. Not stay locked in, but to go out and do just as Jesus did. To say shalom, to say peace be with you, to say that you all are forgiven. And that is amazing grace. The grace that frees us from being trapped behind these locked doors. But even to those who do not have the courage, or maybe even to those who have other doubts, Jesus comes in and says, you're forgiven. We have two stories here, one of the disciples, and then we have a story of Thomas, who is also there. But Thomas is hidden behind locked doors of doubt. He chooses not to believe. But even to Thomas, Jesus comes in and frees him from being locked in behind those intellectual bars. Allows him to say, touch my hands. Feel the holes on my hand. As I was preparing for today's sermons, I couldn't help but think back about one of the first sermons that I had to preach at a United Church. It was a United Church out in Scarborough. My preaching professor at Emmanuel College, Paul Wilson, had recommended me to this church to do pulpit supply over the summer. So I had taken on the role of preaching 6 sermons over the summer, and I thought, you know, how hard could that be? But if you've never preached at a United Church before, it's very different from, say, a Presbyterian church or a Christian Reformed church where I have a background in. So I went in. It was a very hot day. There was no air conditioning. And here I see a bunch of faces that I have never seen. I haven't even met the person I have been doing email correspondences with to try to set up the service. And I started preaching, and I threw jokes that worked at my congregation, and all I hear back is, I try to be more animated, I try to make, you know, I try to say, wow, it's really hot in here, there's no air conditioning, and all they do is look at me and so after the benediction, I come down, and I walk down to the end, and I'm thinking, I want to go somewhere. I don't want to stand there. I want to go into a cabinet downstairs, lock myself in a cupboard, and act as if nothing had happened. Because I was afraid. The person who was leading worship had introduced and said, oh, Paul Wilson has recommended this student. He's a great preacher and he's a great student and blah, 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 blah. And here I am. There is nothing that comes from the congregation and I have to stand in the back and shake hands where they will hopefully at least say, thank you, and walk. Or they say, you know, you suck. And I have to say, it is a real fear. But for the people that were coming down, for those same people who were just standing and looking like this during service would come and look at my face, look at me and smile and say, thank you. Thank you. And I have to say, at the end of those 6 weeks, you know, I almost felt like I was one of them. In fact, when Justin was born, they actually sent me a gift for Justin. And even to this day, they're always saying, Moses, can you come back and do pulpit supply over the summer? Of course, this summer I will have to say no. What was it that made them come up to me and smile and shake my hand and say, thank you? I was really touched. Thank you. God spoke through your sermon. Thank you. Of course, there's always people who will say, good job. What was it? Was it something I said? Was it something I did? And I think the only explanation here is that even through those that I've seen as locked doors, that Jesus chose to go through the doors and speak to them. Just like Jesus chooses to go through the doors of where the disciples are locked in. The Bible doesn't say how Jesus opened it. The Bible doesn't say whether he knocked three times. The Bible doesn't say whether Jesus did a kung fu move and tried to go in, or whether he was a master locksmith. But Jesus went in, went through those doors, and said, Shalom, peace be with you. Even to those members who may have seemed to me that they were all locked, the word of God was powerful in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ went through those locked doors. And even to myself, who was standing in the back inside my own imaginary locked box, Jesus chose to walk through those locked doors and come speak to me and says, Moses, I have spoken through you. And that is the power of the gospel this morning. That even when we choose to lock ourselves in fear, even when we choose to lock ourselves because of anger, even when we choose to lock ourselves because we want to be alone, I don't know exactly what all the circumstances may be in all of your lives, but when we choose to lock those doors and choose not to have people come in, somehow Jesus still comes in and says, Shalom, peace be with you. And even if we deep in our hearts think that we cannot forgive, we want to keep that door closed, God opens the door and invites us to go out and break the barriers. Break the barriers from here to here. Break the barriers of our church doors that we are willing to invite others to come in. And I have to tell you, sometimes dressing up is not a hard thing. It's actually a way of hiding myself. What is God speaking to you this morning? Maybe God is inviting you to open those doors. And maybe it's really hard. And maybe that's why Jesus chose to open it first. Let us pray. God, a lot of times we find ourselves locking ourselves in because that's so easy. When we're afraid of something, it's easy to just go into our cupboards in the basement and to lock ourselves in. To imagine that nothing has happened. To imagine that everything is okay. And sometimes we may be so afraid to open that door again. But we thank you. We thank you for Jesus who chose to come in and to say, peace be with you. God, give us the courage to step out. God, give us the courage to go out. God, give us the courage to break the barriers. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen.